God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you will live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, that's Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Before we start, let's pray. Father God, we just come before you now, Lord, and asking you humbly that you would speak to us, Lord. Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord, and you would enable us, Lord, to hear in a clear and concise way, Lord, what you want to say to us collectively, Lord, and as individuals, Father. And Lord, I ask you now, Father God, to take away my nerves, to take away my fear. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and use me, Father God. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. It's really nice to see you all. I'd like to especially say thank you to my mother and my grandmother for coming down, you know, and even Man United supporters, all right, Kenny? Yeah. You know, everybody's welcome in Shiloh. Yeah. You know, you might think it's strange that, you know, tonight we're it's looking for life, avoid these dead places, and we would say the churches. Well, just like Don Francisco sung at the start, I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if you're sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you've paved your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? You know, so tonight, I mean, think about it. How many churches are there in Bangor? Over 50, probably. You know, over 50 churches. Okay? So you've got your different types of churches. So I tonight was just thinking, you know, and I brought this because I love this guitar. I can't play it like, you know, whether you go to one of them churches that knock things down, one of them churches, one of them churches, or one of them churches, it doesn't matter. It's if your heart is in the right place and you're looking to meet with God. But I thought tonight I would open my new church, a church of my own. But first of all, I just wanted to ask this. What is the church? Is it A, a social club? B, somewhere to get dipped, hitched and planted, or as Taddy would say, hatched, matched and dispatched? Is it somewhere to go to get a wee fix of God? Is it somewhere to feel good about yourself? Oh, sorry. This is... There you go. How does that go down to the next page, Keith? There's two pages in that. Or is it A, the body of Christ? Is it where we can offer thanks, praise, and worship to God? Where God meets his people? Or where we can come together to pray. Now, we all have different images of what church is. And before we came to church, we probably had one view. When we started to come to church, we had another view. And those of us that know the Lord have a completely different view of that as well. So I was going to start my own church tonight. And I wanted to be a church that would please people. So I'm going to call it the superficial, evolving, liberal fellowship. You know, or, you know, I was looking at that and I thought, how can I put that in the front of this church? Because I couldn't afford to pay Vistaprint to print that for me. So I just thought, why don't we put the letters up? S-E-L-F, self. So I thought, sorry, superficial. Well, because we're going to have to put on a bit of an appearance for people. So the best way to put on an appearance is, of course, to wear a mask. So we're all going to wear masks and we're all going to hide about them and we're going to pretend there's nothing wrong in our lives and everything's hunky-dory and rosy. And that's the way we're going to get on. And we're never going to tell nobody nothing. We're just going to hide it all and pretend that everything's just great in this church. Okay? Then I thought, you know what? And that's why I'm wearing it. I'm not just wearing this suit, by the way, because my grandmother's here. I'm wearing this suit because it sure makes my words sound better, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Look at him. Whoa, whoa.
You'll be starting something off
in anything, aren't you? If Taddy wears a suit, he's either going to marry you or bury you. And both of them, you need to be worried about. Now, so I thought, but that's not even good enough, because in our church we want to be really, really holy in this superficial, evolving, liberal fellowship. So I thought, let's wear big capes. Okay, and Taddy would love this, I know he would. You know, so you put your big cape on so that when everybody comes in, they can see that you're really, really, really holy. You know what I mean? And you're really special, and your glasses fall off, you know. And look, and everybody goes, I said, wow, look at him. He must be just really, really close to God. You know, and then I thought after that, you know, what we'll have to do is we'll have to make everybody see things our way. So we're going to put on our big rose-tinted spectacles. So everybody will see things the way we see things. You know what I mean? And we'll give these out to everybody and they'll view it our way. Okay. So then it's going to be an evolving church, because we're going to have to change things when we want things to suit us. So first of all, what we need to do then is we need to get a Bible and we need to start going like this. Go like that. Go like that. Or that. Or that. Or that. Or that. Taddy's a cleaner, don't I? Or that. Or that. I don't want that, so that hold has to go away. Then I thought as well, what would be really great? We tell everybody, see, we'll get these elders and leaders together, and they're the most holy people. And what we'll do is we'll give them big pointy sticks to point at people. You're really bad. You're a bad sinner. You're a bad sinner. See you. Oh my goodness. And see you. You know what I mean? So we can point at people with our big, big stick. And then when we haven't done enough pointing, we can beat them as a team. You know what I mean? So that's what we're going to do in this new church. Now, liberal because, sure, we'll just have to let the world take over and we'll have to let all the world views come in. So, of course, controversial subject, but to some people, but we're going to let gay ministers in and all that type of stuff. And we'll let people come in. We'll let different faiths come in. And we'll let everybody together. And sure, it'll be great. And then we'll have fellowship. But what the fellowship we'll have will be down the street. You know, we'll not have it here. We'll have it out. We'll go out clubbing. We'll go out and leave recce's. And we'll go here and we'll go there together. And that would be great. You know, that's the way we would do this in this. But the thing is with that, all that is going to be centered on one thing. Self. All of that is going to be self. And seeing that word self, I don't see Jesus. I don't see Jesus anywhere. This is the way, as Christians, using them same letters, we should be sacrificial, engaging, loving, and fellowship. Sacrificial, following Jesus laid down his life for us. We should put others before ourselves. We should love the Lord our God and our neighbors equally. We should put everyone else before ourselves. We should go and help people when they need help. We should feed the starving, you know, help the homeless, help one another. That should be on our hearts, to be given of ourselves and of our time. Engaging, because first of all, we need to engage with God. We need to come and meet with God. We need to pray together, and we need to seek his face in what he wants us to do. We need to engage with one another. We need to build one another up. We need to be there for each other and to be that the support network for one another, but also we need to engage with the people out there, outside. We need to engage with them, and we need to, when we come onto love, we need to show love to one another, and we need to show love to the people outside too, because God loves them as much as he loves us. And fellowship, coming together, praying together, coming under God's word together, thanking God, praising God, and worshipping God together as one unit, as the body that John read about in Colossians, as the body of Christ. These are what God not only wants us to do, these are the things that his Spirit will enable, equip, and empower us to do if we ask him to. So, sacrificial, engaging, loving fellowship. Keith? So, we're okay. Right. There's different denominations in this town. We said earlier there's over 50 church. Many denominations represented there. You know, thing is, how many denominations in heaven? None. God has told me exactly how many Church of Ireland people, how many Presbyterians, how many Baptists, how many Brethren, how many Shiloh people, whatever, you know, are going to be in heaven. None. It's just going to be believers, just going to be Christians. There will be no denomination in heaven. A lot of us have been brought up with different traditions. You know, and churches would give you a teaching on things like infant baptism, on confirmation, you know, and going even, some churches even teach that you can confess sins to men. You know, but these are things that are in the back of our head. I remember Robert Campbell once came to this church and he said about, you know, if we're trees, you know, I mean, we all come, we're a tree, there's different roots because we all came from different backgrounds, different things in our heads. The one thing, though, that matters is your position before God. How you stand before Almighty God. Do you stand as knowing him or not knowing him? And there's only one way to know God, and that's through Jesus. And then that takes us on to the next point, your condition. You know, believers, your condition can change on a daily basis, but your position never changes. Sinner, your condition before God is still the same, and your position won't change until you come to Jesus. And if you're a backslider, your condition has changed, but your position before God has never, ever changed. We need to strip away all the religiosity, all the religion, because the thing about religion is, religion, doesn't matter what religion you pick in the world, they will tell you how, by your own works, by your own good deeds, you see, need to take that off, you can make your way to heaven. I'm glad I had that Weetabix. And, you know, how you can make your way to heaven, whatever you want to call it, but there's only one way. Jesus came from heaven to earth to show the way. Keith, again, please. Yeah. So, what type of life are you looking for? Life based on your ways? Life based on God's ways? It's one or the other. Keith called it recently, there's two walks. And that's the reality. Because see, in this world, there's only two types of people. There's sinners and sinners saved by grace. That's it. It's very, very black and white. You know, that's the way God says it is, and that's the way, you know, we as Christians would believe that it is. You know, Dave spoke recently, and there's the dark, sorry, and reminded us, you know, the words of Jesus, I have come that they, that's us who believe, may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And in the New Living Translation Bible, the verse is translated as, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So we are the they that Jesus speaks of. Those that receive this rich and satisfying life. Jesus is talking of us that believe not only in him, but on him. This is true life. Life to be lived, to excite others, to enthuse others, to glorify our Father in heaven, just as Jesus did. So why in the song we played at the start does Don Francisco say, you know, I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if it's sitting on a cemetery. Well, JK here, John Kelly, assures me that a cemetery means a sleeping place. So are we sleeping? Is the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, sleeping? The word sleeping in this context can be used to mean dead, a dead place, void of life. Are we the waking dead? The walking dead or the walking life? We can only be alive if we are living in the image of Christ, not by our own efforts, but Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, empowered, equipped, and enabled by the Spirit of the living God, the Word of life, the giver of life, abundant life, purchased by the giving of his life. Is the life you're living for Jesus enthusing others? Or are you needing to heed the warning, wake up, sleeper? Keith, sorry. Well, the thing about religion is, and I think I might copyright this one, although Taddy did mention a few years back, religion will pickle your head. It will indeed. Only Jesus Christ will pickle and preserve you. You know, and in Jude, we are told, that we, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. We who know Jesus are being preserved. What are we being preserved from, though? We're being preserved from God's wrath, from the hell, the judgment and hell to come. The thing is, though, if you're not preserved, if you're not pickled and preserved, I would not like to be standing before Almighty God without Jesus. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about one thing. It's all about Jesus. And it's not about us. If that slide comes up, Keith. Yeah. It's not about us. It's not because of who we are, but because of what he's done. Not because what we've done, but because of who Jesus is. And can we go to the next slide, please, Keith? So is Jesus, as we read earlier, you know, the version my Bible says, you know, that in all things Jesus has the preeminence. So is Jesus preeminent in your life? Is this evident in the way you live your life? And here's a good one. Is shallow Christian fellowship a cemetery, void of life, a sleeping place? Or is this a place where people see that we believe that Jesus is alive, that we believe we are alive because of Jesus, and that life flows through us into others, that they see in this place that we want to take that good news out, that we want to demonstrate that love, that we want to be that sacrificial, you know, fellowship, you know. And this is what we need to do as believers. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of your faith, our faith, my faith. A perfecter is someone who completes or makes something perfect. Our relationship with God through Jesus, we don't feel it, we don't see it, but it's perfect because we will receive all that he has promised through Jesus. But tonight, if you do not know Jesus, he can't be your perfecter. But there's an open invitation to you tonight to believe that Jesus came into this world to save you, that he came into the world to die for you, that he paid the price for your sin, that you could fix your eyes on Jesus and call him the perfecter of your faith. Tonight, if you once walked with the Lord, a backslider, as the Bible would say, turn back, fix your eyes once again on Jesus, and acknowledge him again as the perfecter of your faith. Someone who completes or makes all things in your life perfect. John read from Colossians, and Jesus needs to be our all in all. He needs to be preeminent in our lives, and people need to see that. We need to outwork our faith. Our faith needs to be visible so that people can see that we are not just talkers, that we are walkers. So throw away the masks, throw away the capes, throw away your wrong views of God, your big pointy sticks for pointing at other people, and take a look at how you stand before Almighty God. Tonight, if you know him as Father, bless him and thank him for that. Tonight, if you don't know him, cry out to him before it's too late. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for the wonderful relationship, Lord, that's open for all who will believe with you through Jesus. And Father God, we thank you that tonight you've extended that offer once again, that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you, Lord, that we as believers, we as the body of Christ, and Jesus as the head of the church, Lord, the true church of God, that we, Father God, can look to him, the perfecter of our faith, and that tonight we can know with assurance, Lord, that we have been pickled and preserved, and that there's nothing, Lord, can snatch us out of your hand. And we thank you for that. In his precious name, amen. Yeah.